That was beautiful. A little different than what they sang last night. Jan Forden put together a great chorus to I Danced in the Morning, and it was great fun. See what you all missed if you weren't here last night? We finish up the stewardship series today using the same passage I've used for the last few weeks. Maybe you don't have it memorized. I should. I've said it enough times, but let's share again in our scripture from the Gospel of Matthew. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine! Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. May God help us to put into practice this, our holy word for today. I wonder if you remember doing something like this as a kid. You asked people if they could do something that you had just learned to do. You know, something like, can you roll your tongue? You know? Some people can't do that. Can you do this? Live long and prosper. Some people can't. Some people can't do that. Can you pat your head and rub your stomach at the same time? You know those kinds of things? All kids do it. It's not to sort of one up each other or to show your superiority, although we are delighted when we can do it and somebody else can't do it, right? It's that sense of satisfaction that we get as we develop when we kind of gain a new skill or a new talent and we're just excited to show everybody. It's kind of part of our human development to discover the things that we are uniquely equipped to do. And it's fun and satisfying not only to master a new skill or ability, but to share it with others. That's natural. There's a sense of delight and joy when you can share your gift with others and surprise them. And they go, you can do that? That's cool. I can do this. Cool, eh? Anybody out there have one of those weirdly unique skills that kids did to gross you out when you were a kid? You know, like turn your eyelids inside out. I remember that. You know, or you had double jointed fingers that would push right back to your hand or your elbow bent, you know, inward, that sort of thing. That always kind of grossed me out. But, you know, some people have that unique gift of doing that. Abe has something, I guess. As we grow, as we mature, we discover more and more things about ourselves. And we're given opportunities to develop and hone our natural gifts and abilities, as well as develop new skills and tools that will serve us and others through our lifetimes. One could even say that this really is our purpose in life, to grow up. To grow to maturity, to realize the very best of our gifts, our abilities, and our potential to use what we have been given to help others to do the same. Jesus tells us in our scripture this morning, keep open house. Be generous with your lives, because by opening up to others, you're going to prompt people to open up with God. When we use our own gifts and abilities, we open others up to God as well. He said, if you are light bearers, don't hide. Stand out. Sort of like he says, a bonfire on top of a hill. You're to be a bonfire on top of a hill that everybody from miles around can see. Be brilliant. We're not to hide who we are. We have been given what we have for the purpose of being generous, for showing others that God lives and loves through us. This is how people are, in fact, attracted to God. By us giving to the world the best of who we are and what we have to offer, the world is going to see God. This is human life fully realized. No holding back. I believe this really actually is the meaning of Jesus' life and his sacrifice. It is the generous self-giving of his entire life for all. This is love. This is God's nature. And it is inherently our nature. When we are fully alive, we are fully expressing God who is love. We are fully expressing the Christ nature within each one of us. This is who we are as followers of Jesus. He is the one for us as Christians who fully expressed the nature of God and the potential for each human being to become love incarnate. Love in human flesh. An amazing possibility. The path that Jesus showed us, though, is not easy. At least I don't find it easy. It involves sacrifice, a letting go of our attachments to our own way to seek a new way, the way of humility and weakness and of being real. This was the way of Jesus. It's not easy, but it is the way of the cross and the way to abundant life. This week I had a couple of occasions to speak to a few people who are struggling with their faith and how to be in a place that is authentic to them in their faith journey. They are in what I consider transition or transformation. Places of transformation. It's not an easy place to be, I confess, because I have been there many, many times. It's uncomfortable. They are what I call and what others have called dark nights of the soul. Places where we have transitioned from what we may have believed. And we're in a place where we're transitioning to something new, but we don't know what that is. The old way is safe. We've settled there. We have some certainty. And then all of a sudden, things are thrown out of focus, and we seek focus again. I love having these conversations, though. They are exciting and provoking in a good way. They challenge my own faith in where I'm at. One of my friends, in fact, expressed her frustration at no longer subscribing to traditional, some might say, the fundamental bedrock constructs of the Christian tradition, but not quite sure where to land as she transitions to a new understanding of God and of her own faith. I want to share today, I don't do this very often, but I want to share today a little bit of my own faith. What I have shared with my friend. For I too have struggled many times in that very way. And I expect, in fact, that I will do it the rest of my life. Always seeking to understand my faith and my Christian tradition in a new and transformative way. Ways that help me and hopefully others to mature in their faith. Maturity in our lives and maturity in our faith requires transformative, often painful moments when we recognize that the old needs to be discarded for something new. Growth doesn't always require pain, but I have found that in many cases, the process of transitioning to something new is often painful. One of the most painful transitions for me in my faith was giving up my cherished Sunday school notion of that big guy in the sky, God, who always protected me and was there to answer my wants and wishes. There's some good and some bad in that, because I thought God would punish me if I did something bad and would reward me if I do good. Eventually, though, I found out that that reality was not borne out. Bad people got better things than I did, no matter how I prayed. And good people had terrible things happen to them, no matter how hard people were praying around them or how hard they prayed. Eventually, for me, as many theologians have found throughout the centuries, I transitioned into a new understanding of God. I began to understand for myself that God is not a being, some guy or gal or something, whatever we call God, he or she or whatever that is, that didn't work for me anymore. That God was not some sort of perhaps flesh and blood or corporeal being, embodied creature that lives really not here, but in another dimension, really, who is sitting there in this other dimension that we call heaven and taking care of this huge family, and also was particularly concerned with this little group of people on earth, and watching every activity we engaged in and either saying, good girl or good boy or bad girl or bad boy or whatever that was, and that we had to obey him or he would punish us or reward us if we're good. I came to understand that God is not at all a human-like creature and this was a big thing for me, that there was this being that I came not to believe in, who refuses to forgive us unless somebody died and we accepted that he had died. That was huge for me, because I realized that a God that required something of somebody, required his son to die, and required that we accepted that his son died for us to forgive us, meant that God is not a free God. There is nothing free about that God, because that God is not free to unconditionally love and forgive us if some certain conditions had to be met. In fact, I realized I was freer as a human being to forgive than a God who required something in order for forgiveness to take place. This God for me became too restricted, too small. Because if God is not free, totally free to love us unconditionally, to forgive us unconditionally, without limitations, then I didn't see this God being effective at all. Eventually, God for me became being itself. As Paul describes God to a group of intellectuals in Athens, he says this: God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. God is not a being, God is being. Before the universe burst into being, there was pure being itself, pure potential. And love is the essence of that potential. Love created us, and love is the meaning of creation. Pure love heals, reconciles, forgives, and frees us to be our very best. That is the God I came to understand. Central then to my understanding, beyond that of God, is of Christ and the belief that he is the one human being in my life who expresses most perfectly the essence of God, who showed us what pure love is, to right wrongs, to free those who are shackled, to heal the broken and wounded, to feed those who are hungry, and to show others the way to love. So my prayers then became not prayers of asking God to do something in the world, because I already believe that God is always active in the world. I don't have to ask God to be active in the world. God always is doing something in the world. But my prayers became, God, change me. Make me more loving and giving and real so that I might be an example of Christ in the world. Don't get me wrong, I do ask for things. Knowing that, though in asking, it is more of an expression of my desire, an expression of joining my voice to others to bring healing and love into the situations in the world through God in me. I don't expect God to listen so much as I trust that God is already at work, and when I add my prayers and my love to that work, it expands as it does when each of us prays together. When we express love, the best of who we are living out God, the potential that exists within all creation. This is our purpose and the purpose of everything. Every one of us expresses God in a wonderfully unique and special way. I can make a loon call. What can you do? When we come together in community to fully express our gifts, we are being the church. This is why all of us offering our gifts in the church and abilities make the church stronger and more effective, because we are missing a piece of God when we are not contributing to the life and work of this community. We are all important and necessary if we're going to express God in the fullest way possible. We cannot hoard our gifts or we hide the unique expressions of God from the world, and the world needs us all to be at our best, to give our best. I am one small, very small part of God's work in the world, and you are one small part of God's work in the world. Yet together, when we offer ourselves, throw open our lives to the world, when we keep open house, as Christ says, we will more fully realize God in the church and God in the world. Each of us is essential to the fullest expression of God in the world. We are all special. I look out here, I looked last night, I look every week in this church at what is going on, and I say there are amazing people in this church giving to the work and life of this church. And I could have asked any one of you, but I did want to ask somebody this week to come and say a few words about why she offers what she does to the church. I'm going to invite Amy Munkus to come up and share with us this morning. Amy shows up on Mondays for card ministry. And then she comes in on Tuesdays to be in the office. And if you see the sign changed outside, Amy's changes the sign every week or when it needs to be changed. Down on Wednesday, she's come in for a course. I saw her on Wednesday as well. And then Thursday morning on Bible study. And later that day, she came back to do jacket racket. And later today, she'll be doing dishes after the service. Hardly a day goes by that I don't see Amy. So come on up, Amy. Keith, can we have over here? So, you do a lot of things in this church, and I want to know why it is you've decided to put your energies and your resources, your money, into the work of this church.
Well, I think this church is needed. We need the beautiful church, but we also need the people, all the things that are done by the people in this church, and it needs to go forward. We can't quit.
Like light.
Well, Candace's little kidlets, they need a church to grow up in. All the youth groups, all the families. There's a lot of activities in this church that we all need.
Yeah. Are you still growing?
I'm learning because I go to Bible study. I hope I don't grow anymore.
Let's talk spiritually.
Yeah, Bible study helps spiritually.
Yeah. And
there is the aspect of the worship. We need the church to worship in.
To be community together.
But we don't just need the building.
Right.
It's the people can worship without a building. Makes it nicer. But I think it's the congregation that is the church.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, I agree. So why do you do what you do?
I want to be useful. I'm old. My kids don't need me anymore. I need something to do. And it's fun. We have fun. We laugh. And there's always something new, something interesting happening, something you can learn from. Mm-hmm. But mainly it's fun.
Okay.
We laugh.
And why do you think it's important that we all add our gifts? Why do we all need to participate in the life and work of the church?
Because we need everybody. Nobody can do it alone. You can do a lot if everybody works together. Everybody's ideas, everybody's talents, like you were saying, all the different things, and people together can come up with new ideas. And the church is needed outside in the town too. This town needs this church.
Yes, yeah, so we exist for not just ourselves, but for people outside of the church as well.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. On behalf of everybody, I would like to thank you, and I would like to thank you as everybody here. I want to give you a hug and thank you for all you do. As I look around this sanctuary, I see a generous, loving group of people sitting in these chairs. You express God to me in amazing, amazing ways. I could, like I did with Amy, go around to many of you and create a very long list of what you do, the time and resources you give, and in the quiet, generous ways that you offer to the church and to the building of this community. And you ask very little in return. You inspire me each and every day. It's why I get up and come to work. You are God's saints. As we wrap up our stewardship theme today, it's good to remember that stewardship is about giving the best of ourselves and what we have to the world. Not hiding what we have or what we are. It is about loving well and making that our everyday intention. Every day we can ask ourselves, how can I be more of myself today? How can I throw open my life to express the love of God to those in my life today? And in closing, I want to say this. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being the unique expression of God that you each are. Thank you for what you give to this community and its life and its work. It is only when we work together that we will fully express God to the world. You inspire me to be a better person. You challenge me to grow. You are to me the grace and love of God. Together, we can be the church that expresses the grace and love of God to the world, God willing. We're going to move into a time of reflection and contemplation, of prayer.